It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. Woody was on the Cowboys Happy Hour last night with Shannon Gross and Corey Majors. And, man, it was a good show. Tyler Klutz, the former Cowboys fullback,
he
is doing
good.
Things.
Yeah, he's yeah. good.
Good broadcaster there. Speaking of good broadcasters, holy cow, Woody. You know, you talk about one of the best players in team history, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame eventually one day soon. Great broadcaster, though. So whenever he's on and he's talking Cowboys present and future, everybody wants to know, what do you think, Woody? And we will get back to the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Porzingis still out, number one for local, but number one nationally, no doubt, and maybe locally, is the cheating scandal taking a couple of more developments. Carlos Beltran fired by the Mets. Potentially more cheating being unearthed here with the Astros, maybe cheating in 2019 with a buzzer system that was worn inside their jerseys. Check out Twitter for that. So we'll get into those stories and more coming up a little bit later on. Around the NFL is around the corner as well, right here on DFW Sports Station. We got it surrounded, basically, okay? And yes, there is another winning time, another chance to win a grand coming up. Here's Woody talking about what McCarthy needs to change most here for the Cowboys to be successful.
The mindset. You know, what is the mindset going in with McCarthy? Because to me, looking at it from as a former player, looking back into it, the mindset has to change within that locker room. Yeah. Because it can't be all this fluff like, oh, yeah, you know, we're the hot boys and this and that. No, no. I mean, this is about winning games, taking care of games. So that starts in the offseason. What's the mindset of Mike McCarthy? How is he going to apply that to this football team and build that confidence? But Coach McCarthy to come into this situation, yeah, you have a lot of talent, but he's going to have to come in and change how they go about
accountability
and how they practice and, you know, what they do in the offseason. That's what Bill Parcells did. We went 5-11 three straight years.
Yeah.
Parcells comes in, we go 10-6.
Same talent,
and it was
too,
same
right?
talent.
Yeah.
And he just changed how we thought about and approached every day of practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting stuff coming from Woody. You know, and some of it does kind of sound old man-ish, right? Let's have fun. But – boy, you know, it has not gone well for the hot boys in the defensive line since about Thanksgiving of 2018. Maybe it's time to put that nickname away and go back to earning it. And then, you know, specifically, what kind of things do you think of when he talks about mindset? We need to change the mindset, because that's a general term, isn't it?
It is, but I think of this. When we hear from players, when we're like, hey, I mean, you guys won, but you didn't. Hey, winning in the NFL is hard. We got to celebrate every time we win. Well, if it's so hard, then how come you're not coming? And I know this is general. How come you guys don't come with this mindset of winning is everything in this building? And I just think, you know, I don't want to interrupt as in take away from other cuts we have here, but who is when I heard Roger Staubach on this as the season was progressing after they played like the Chicago Bears or something. And it was Mike Ditka who he said, if anybody plays bad the next game, I'm going to personally kick your ass. Pretty much is what he said, and then they won every game and won the Super Bowl. I mean, and then Roger tried to compare it to the 2019 Dallas Cowboys, hoping that they would turn around at the end of the year. But it's like, who in that room are they afraid of? Who are they like, I better play my best, or I'm going to have to answer to who, whether it's Mike Ditka, Charles Haley, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Parcells.
Maybe it has to be a player, right? Because whatever the coach says, after a while, I think that message is going to either dissolve naturally or the players are going to feel like, well, you're not really in charge. But if a player says, I'm going to kick your ass, that's something that all of those other dynamics can't affect.
I do think this, and the point is that if you feel like you let down your teammates, that hurts. But if after you have a bad game and you let them down, like, don't, I'm not concerned about it. You tried.
Yeah.
Well, oh, shoot. Okay, good. I guess nobody really cares if we went. You know, like all of a sudden it's like,
fault
we
anyway.
Care, but it's like, I'm not really, the guys are like, hey, I'm getting mine, get yours. You got your sunglass thing happening yet, or what's going on? Can I go help you out with in the food world that you're trying to get into?
Well, I hope it's possible to win a Super Bowl without changing the mindset or changing the culture, because I think that's what Woody's talking about, and it is a tall task.
Yeah.
It is. You know, and I hope you just get the culture from having great football players that win and have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
And then the culture comes along for the ride. I think that's more likely than McCarthy going in there and saying or doing something profound that alters what's been happening for decades now.
So I think it sounds dumb when you're talking about pro sports to some extent, but I totally believe this. Like, there's people who don't want to play for the Patriots because it's too hard. Hmm. On a day-to-day basis, practice is too hard.
It's happened, yeah.
And working that hard is just not for some people. And I think for all the talk about when Wade Phillips was here and Camp Cupcake, we've been to a lot of training camps. There's no difference with Jason Garrett.
No.
It's they're not out there. When practice is over, guys aren't exhausted. It's like it's a different world. Like Woody, and I know we'll play it, but I know Woody was talking about a lot of different things where it was like, look, once upon a time in sports, you had to kick ass for anyone to care about you. Mm. You had to be great. It's a different world now. And so you have to find a guy that can take dudes who are incredibly well compensated. A lot of them, if you told them to go home, would be like, that's cool. I'm set for life. And I'm not against that. The sport is worth this much. That's what you're worth. That's awesome. Get every penny you can. But I think it can become a heck of a challenge to say, okay, now.
Yeah.
Not just Sunday when it's time to win a game, but Monday through Saturday, we're getting after it. Because that's how we're going to get best at football.
You have to be committed as an organization to send that message. You can't have, you know, different guys trying to do different things.
And the last thing I'll put on this is it has to be the mindset, Gavin, because we can't change the players. We're locked into all the players.
That's a great point. Okay, let's get through some of these Woody cuts, and maybe we'll hear from those those ideas in his own words here. Cut number two, labeled number two again, Lucius. I'm pretty on the expectations for the team next season. Here's Darren Woodson.
I know we've been talking about this personnel for the longest time and how good this personnel can be if, you know, guided in the right direction. And every year it's always a couple of games, your game off. I always look at and go back to the Jets game of this season that really – you know, sent the season into a spiral. But you look at this team and the way it's built, not only at the quarterback position, but the running back position, the offensive line, the weapons that they have, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, defensively, you know they have talent. They have to get better personnel-wise defensively. But this team is set. Who scares you in this league, honestly? I mean, if you're the Cowboys going into next season, do the Eagles actually scare you? No. I mean, the division is winnable, and it has been, and that's the key. You win a division, and then you set yourself up in the playoffs.
And I think, you know, I do agree with Woody that you have a chance, and the roster is good, but with the defense, that's the thing that really sucks about where the mindset went, because you're not going to have a better defense than that. I don't think for a long, long time. You got a lot of money to pay up.
I don't think you're going to have a better offense than that.
Yeah, and it's there. Mm. It was the most there in 2019, and you stayed healthy for the most part. What a waste. Okay, cut four, arguing against the idea that stars have to be the leaders. Here was Darren Woodson.
Look, I don't believe in that. I firmly don't believe that. I mean,
Jalen Smith be a leader?
No, but going back to that, because I knew Irv, and Michael Irvin is, and he spoke it what he spoke, and he said it, you know. But you saw – the things you saw about Michael Irvin were this. He show up early in the morning. He was the last guy out of the building. He work out twice a day.
Show up early or stay late?
I mean, show up early, stay late, do the whole – I mean, took care of his body, did everything it took to be a pro. And then showed it, right? But then I've seen from afar and have heard, oh, wow, all these players that are, oh, I'm a leader and – you know, they get out there in front of them. When the cameras come on, they light up and they blah, 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 blah. But they don't do it day in and day out. And I'm not saying those guys haven't. But you see, sometimes you see a guy, you think, oh, now he's the leader. I remember coming in here and seeing Michael Irvin. But the guy that I was always, like, enamored by, or two guys I was always enamored by, was one, Tony Tolbert.
Okay.
Because he never missed a day.
Here we go.
He was Mr. Consistency.
Here we go.
Every single day. Didn't miss a practice for 9 straight years. Mm-hmm. That's Tolbert, right? Had bad knees the whole nine, didn't miss anything. And then on the opposite side of the ball, it was Daryl Johnston.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, everything you want to be as a pro. And he was a guy that I came in looking at, wasn't a guy that got any credit, was a lead blocker. But every day he was the same guy. He was chopping wood the exact same way every day. And that's what you need to build around. Doesn't always need to be your superstar. It needs to be those guys that just lay that pathwork every day.
I think it's a great point. You know, a lot of different ways to lead, right?
And yeah,
And sometimes it's the star, but stars aren't always leaders. They don't have that in them. And, you know, role players or other starters can make up the difference there.
Yeah. I don't want to get in the way. Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, just in my non-pro sports time of playing football, like it's not letting down the star players that bothers you. It's letting down the guys that work harder than you. Like, there were guys that I played with that weren't the best players, but the guys that you knew worked the hardest, if they ever said anything about the way you were working, it was like, oh, holy cow. Star, I don't care if you're a star. If you're a star, that's great. When we're playing the game, you're going to help us win, and we're all going to cheer for it, and it's going to be cool, and we're going to be buddies. But it's the guys who are out there being the exact opposite of the guys who are like, hey, don't sprint at the end of practice because I'm tired. You're going to make me look bad. It's like, the guy you don't want to let down is the dude who's like, I'm sorry, I'm just going as hard as I can. You're like, you bastard. You son of a...
It's a little bit of a guilt trip there.
Yeah, that's the standard you want to live up to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cut number five then from Woody with the talent to get to where they want to be. Talk about this talent a little bit more, Woody.
I look at this team, and they, you know, look, people could say what they want about DeMarcus Lawrence, and I know he didn't have the sack production that he had, but I did not dislike his effort.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, would I like to see more sacks, especially with a guy that got paid that kind of money? Yes, of course. But his effort was still there. They still have guys like DeMarcus Lawrence that are going to come back next year. And I think going to be even that much more motivated to have big seasons.
Yeah.
And that's the guy you need to step up. You know, DeMarcus and Jalen, I didn't think played as well this year as he had in the past. Maybe he's a guy that actually steps up and takes his game to another level. But they have the talent to do so, even through the criticism. They still have the talent to do so and get to where they want to be.
I hope Tank has the big season, not only to be recognized, but I think that does give you a platform to lead in other ways, to be more of a vocal leader. And, you know, maybe guys aren't as comfortable doing that if the skins aren't on the wall for that individual year. How about the belief that teams need dogs? Here was Woody last night with the Cowboys Happy Hour.
I've always been a believer that, and Tyler said it earlier, you know, you got to have some dogs. You got to have some guys that are just flat out people you probably wouldn't hang out with outside.
Yeah.
You know, you do. You're honest. You know, we had Charles Haley. Not everybody hung out with Nate like they do nowadays, but Nate wasn't always the nicest guy.
So you're not always looking for the right kind of guy? Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, there's got to be some guys that upset. Look, I've been a firm believer that in order to have some success, you got to be disruptive.
Yeah.
In any part of life.
You
have to be disruptive. And there has to be someone who is going to break things to get it right. Jimmy was a guy who broke things to get it right. Tony Tolbert, and the list goes on of guys who were just not happy with just mediocrity or just being okay. They wanted greatness in the locker room, and you have to have guys. Troy Aikman, by far, the guy I can tell you right now, he was never satisfied, ever. Practice could go great. He could throw 10 touchdown passes in practice, and there was something wrong.
Boom.
And that's why a guy like Troy Aikman has 3 Super Bowls.
I love that stuff. You know, and this organization does not have much time for disruption anymore at all. If you're disruptive, you got to go, you know.
At least under Jason Garrett. That could change.
Yeah. And then the final cut here, Jimmy Johnson being named to the Hall of Fame. Here was Darren Woodson.
Much deserved, man. I mean, listen, you know, Coach Johnson came in, could have easily won, you know, won 2 back-to-back, but could have easily won 3 or 4, possibly, if things were
or
going.
7 or 8
were going
or 10.
They're going the way that I would have loved them to go. But, you know, Coach Johnson, I just have so much respect for the man because, he first of all, he drafted me. You know, he was a part of that and actually believed in the fact that he can get a guy that was what we called a tweener, which I was, a linebacker, and convert him to a safety and along with, you know, Dave Campbell. And when I got in, they put me out there and had me covering one-on-one, and Jimmy was the first guy to say, look, you're my nickel guy. That's what you're going to do this first year. I didn't like it. I wanted to be a starter, but, you know, it was his team. And, you know, so I just had so much respect on how he approached the game and the winning mentality and win at all costs. And, you know, he'd drive us in the ground, but at the same time, he just had his pulse on this football team. And this team, and I said it in the paper the other day, this team, that team in the 90s, there were so many alpha dog mentality and so many guys that had that mentality. And I don't know if there was a coach on earth at that time could – could feel the pulse of that football team and control that those kind of alpha dogs the way Jimmy did. And that's the reason why we were Super Bowl champs.
It's just incredible, you know, to hear people reminisce and talk about the those days and how different things were. Okay, when we come back, it's time to talk free agency. We're shopping for future Cowboys. The top 50 free agents are out. I cherry-picked quite a few of the interesting names. We can talk about those relative to Cowboys' needs and more next. In the G-Bag Nation, it is winning time, though, right around the corner. Okay, that's coming up in the next 35, 40 minutes or so don't go anywhere. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Let's talk about the top 50 free agents available. Yes, it is time once again.
They're all Cowboys, aren't they?
Let's shop for some future Cowboys. This is Pro Football Focus's grades. And who cares about where they have them ranked? But let's go over some of these names. We'll talk positional needs for the Cowboys and then specific to some of these players. I'll get you the top 10 in its entirety. But players 11 through 50, I'm just going to cherry pick the most interesting players to talk about. Segment here, the G-Bag Nation's brought to you by My Computer Career. And it's brought to you by Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more, fan listeners. Do make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. Official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin & Associates.
Can I tell you that I want to see that the Dodgers cheated. Is that weird? They're the organization that was the most outspoken, and now they have multiple players, Bellinger and Alex Wood, talking about, I can't believe players haven't been punished for this. The players need to be punished. And just because I like chaos, I'd like to see the Dodgers now get in trouble and then be like, well, what?
Huh.
What I'm saying.
I don't know. Isn't it more chaotic if one team clearly didn't cheat and the other one took it from them?
I would say if major players like that are coming out for the Dodgers mad,
they didn't cheat.
The Dodgers didn't cheat.
I know, but that's why it would be really funny if they did.
I wouldn't be. How often could it have happened, though, where players were going rogue with a trainer, even with a guy at home? You know, I mean.
Well, that's what I wonder about Altuve in the video of please don't tear off my jersey because you'll see the wire.
Yeah.
Is like maybe some of the players on the team were going to rip it off going, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, geez, man, that's interesting.
Bregman was like, hey, guys, really listen to him.
I mean, with high-speed internet, with Bluetooth, there's all sorts of things that could be done. You know, you could have just a friend in center field watching the game and buzzing you. It's all different kind of ways it could happen. So I don't know if any evidence from players doing it is going to be a sign that the organization did it. But if you're involved in it, you're not stopping the process. You know, in our courts, that's called party law, right? If you're hanging out with your buddy and your buddy kills somebody and you did nothing to stop it, you didn't tell on him, you can go to jail for life, bro. You know, so there's all sorts of analogies and from our society and the way that we do things that would, you know, suggest that anybody affiliated with this should be facing a stiff punishment. I believe Major League Baseball is just selectively giving it to a couple of people in hopes to make this story go away. You know, and they, you know, to your point, though, Mike, if it turns out the Dodgers did it.
I make great points.
I mean, how many teams have to do it before Major League Baseball just says, okay, no punishments because we can't suspend everybody. We're just going to move on. I do think there's a number of teams.
Six teams.
Yeah, six.
Maybe even higher than that.
You know, I think.
Are you thinking lower or are you thinking way higher?
I'm thinking close to half.
Okay.
Yeah, close to half before you could get a vote on it, right? Because it would take the owner's vote. And if it was just six teams, the other 24 would be like, no, bust their ass. But
if you're also the commissioner, don't you have to quickly put in rules saying, if we find out you do that, since now we're finding all this information out, if you do this, we have to put in like steroids rules for this.
Yeah.
If we find that you cheated during a game, it's 50 games. If we find you do it another time, it's 100. If you do it three times, it's 2 years.
And I don't want Article 46 or anything close to it, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, MLB needs something like this for when the blank hits the fan. That's what I'd be arguing if I'm an owner. Like, we don't have to wait for you guys to savagely break the rules and then say, okay, if you do that again, there needs to be like some general type of ability that if you're working it against the better interest of the league, that as a commissioner, I can come down and, you know, not to the extent the NFL is where your judge, jury, and executioner and the appeals committee as well, but something closer. Okay, number 47 here, the list of the top 50 free agents. Number 47 on the list is a cornerback who once was very celebrated, but not anymore. Kendall Fuller, he is just 25 years old. His career has taken a turn for the worse. As a couple of years ago, he was the best slot corner in the league, and now the Chiefs are actually moving him to safety. Yeah, he's playing safety this week.
Okay.
Set a slot corner. So.
Oh, they just said you're not good enough, so just go ahead and back up where you can see more?
I think they had an injury at safety.
Okay.
So they had to move. But yeah,
Lost Thornhill.
Yes. Yeah. Juan Thornhill.
They lost an impact free safety.
So we have to find Randall Cobb's in this list, right? Like we have to find 1 year contract guys that.
Four or five mil.
Likely, depending what they do with other guys.
I'm just thinking likely. Last year that was our only free agent, right?
You could maybe find.
You added Quinn's salary, but it wasn't a free agent.
Right.
You traded for him.
Robert Quinn is 46th on the list of the top 50 free agents.
I thought he'd be like 25 or 20.
Yeah, especially because how many pressures he had in 14 games. It was darn near 60 pressures. But he's at an age where you have to be skeptical, especially since he's coming off of roids. I think I would be inclined, based on his stats, to think you're going to get too much money. But maybe the market shrugs their shoulders and you could keep Robert Quinn around for another one-year deal. How low would it have to be before you're like, yeah, let's do that?
$10 million.
Yeah, 8 or 9 mil, something like that would be fun. Okay, now here's a fun name. Safety Carl Joseph. He's been a very solid safety. He's number 44 on the list of the top 50 free agents set to hit the market in March.
Loved him coming out of West Virginia.
Hasn't made a ton of splash plays. But it would be an upgrade, right? You're getting coverage, you're getting run stopping, but he's not going to go force the ball and take it away and do all that.
Well, we need help. Would you rather have him than Jeff Heath?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And let's get him.
Yeah, that was easy.
The number 41 on the list, the top 50 free agents, talking points here. This is one of those finally he's gone type of things. As the Eagles are going to finally move on from Jason Peters, a Hall of Fame left tackle. Andre Dillard's coming in. Cowboys aren't going to have to contend with really one of the best left tackles in the history of the game. He's up there. He's like 38 years old. But
hopefully they don't just slide into another awesome left tackle forever, because that's another guy that, as a draft prospect, he was probably the best pass blocker in college football two years ago. So you might just be getting Jason Peters again for another 15 years.
Number 38, another cornerback who was celebrated. But his career has kind of hit the skids. He's a disappointing first-round pick. Trey Waynes of the Minnesota Vikings. I remember you really liked him coming out of college and early.
He never really got it going, I don't think. They started him because he was a first-round pick, but I don't feel like he was ever an impact player for them. And it always seemed like every week you were talking about him as a liability. And let me see here. He had some interceptions. Not bad in terms of ball production, but, yeah, I don't think he's ever been very good.
Okay, how about this name for you? A defensive lineman, Mike Daniels.
Oh, sign me all the way up.
He was just with the Lions. He was drafted by the Packers in 2012 by Mike McCarthy's team, obviously, and played there through 2017. Mike Daniels, known as a guy who can get some pressures, and he plays the run nicely as well.
I didn't really see him in Detroit this year, but if he's anything like he was even in 2018 in Green Bay, that dude is relentless. Like when you're watching, I remember it was before the Cowboys played him in the playoffs, just watching their team. And it's like, all right, Mike Daniels gets about 4 sacks a year. But that dude is hard to block. He's hard to move. That's the kind of guy that I would really like the Cowboys to add, where it's like, how many sacks is he going to get? Not many. What kind of impact is he going to have on the game? Pretty big.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, no doubt. Just a guy you have to account for every play. Patriots edge Kyle Van Noy is number 33 on the list of the top 50 free agents. I don't know. I'm very skeptical.
Me too, for the same reason.
Ooh, yeah.
It worked with the Patriots. Will it work for you? I have no idea.
Okay, how about we jump down to 29 then, a safety with the 49ers now, Jimmy Ward. He's played about every position in the secondary. He's had a great year at free safety, missed only 3 tackles, and broke up a ton of passes. That might be a fun option to consider there as Cowboys need at least one safety. You know, signing a free safety, you get some certainty out of that as far as how good he's going to be, and move Xavier Woods elsewhere, play those guys as a combination.
Yeah, I think Xavier Woods lets you do that. Whatever, if you bring up a safety name, it's like, well, he's more of a don't care.
Nice.
Is he good? Because then they can both play the ball and they can both tackle. I think that works whichever kind of safety you find.
Speaking of is he good, defensive lineman Leonard Williams, is that a name that would intrigue you? I feel like the Cowboys need 3 starting defensive linemen, right? Outside of Tank, everything's up for grabs.
Right now.
Yeah. I don't know what happened with Leonard Williams. Second year in the league, he's got 7 sacks, and it looks like he's on track to be really, really, really good. Last year with the Giants and the Jets, 0.5 sack in 12 games.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with Leonard Williams. And I'm not a sacks or everything guy, but 0.5 sack last year, 5 the year before, 2 the year before, for a guy that coming out of school I thought was near can't miss.
Yeah.
I would like to know what happened.
And that's a move for a rebuilding team, right? Who's got opportunity for him and a change of scenery, and we'll try to get it going here. But you don't have room to take risks like that for this Cowboys team. You need all of your signings to be guys that have an impact. Eric Ebron, the Colts tight end, is number 22 in the top 50 free agents. 74 catches this year. A below average run blocker, though, is Eric Ebron.
Oh, dang.
He's okay, right?
I mean, what he's done in Indy has been good.
Okay.
In Detroit, he was okay, but remember, he was a high first round.
11th overall pick.
Something like that. And so that was a disappointment. I don't know that I would be interested in a tight end that costs any amount of decent money, because I think if you're the Cowboys and you're kind of pinched for where you can spend money, you've got a cheap option on the roster that I think can be at least okay starting tight end in Blake Jarwin. Just let him play.
Mm-hmm.
We might have a depth chart to fill, but I don't think we need to be looking at $5 and $10 million players when you've got a guy who just didn't get opportunity that can play.
No, I totally hear you on that. Makes lots of sense. Let's go back to the Green Bay well then. At 21, top 50 free agents, it's the safety, Clinton Dix. He spent last year with Washington, right? Good in coverage, missed a lot of tackles.
Yeah, throwing around the safety names, I can't help but feel like whenever we find out who is going to be the competition, I feel like it's going to be a combination of, well, we liked Donovan Wilson in camp last year, and here's a guy that you aren't really familiar with that was a rotational player. I don't know. I wonder what Clinton Dix is worth. He started his entire career. And he's coming off of, what is that, his 6th year in the league as a full-time starter. But you're telling me, what number is he on the list? Like in the 30s?
21.
Okay.
There's nothing we can do about it. It happened because they made the playoffs and won a game. But if you would have, after Mike McCarthy got fired, hired Mike McCarthy, and he would have hired, let's just say, Mike Nolan as his defensive coordinator, and you would have let go of your defensive, we probably would have taken a safety in the second round.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have to answer these.
Yeah.
I mean, because they would have been like, no, safety is a priority. Yeah. And we're not taking Tristan Hill because then we don't have the defensive coordinator falling in love with a guy who had a lot of issues in college.
Yeah, massive disappointment. I mean, at least they didn't give him an extension after winning the playoff game, right? Okay, number 8, Hunter Henry, the tight end who's always hurt. If he could stay healthy, that'd be a hell of a signing. Jadeveon Clowney's number 7. A.J. Green, number 6, top 50 free agents here. Chris Harris, the corner who makes Holman prosper in the offseason of the Denver Broncos.
That'd be fun.
Number 4 is Byron Jones, a top free agent. Anthony Harris, Viking safety, is number 3. This year, played 60% of the snaps at free safety, 40 at strong, and played both positions incredibly well. Number 2 is the defensive lineman, Chris Jones. And number 1, the Pro Football Focus top 50 free agents, is your guy, Amari Cooper.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot of coveting.
Isn't that, I mean, I don't know how many times we will go over the same thing, but that's what's so disappointing about the last 2 years, is you did have a team that was drafting well. You were getting young contributors who didn't cost you much. You have Amari Cooper, you have Byron Jones, who are both in the top 10 of free agency lists, and that doesn't even include Dak Prescott. And still, you didn't find a way to be a real Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of scramble time.
Ratings were great, though.
Yeah, that's important.
Well.
But now it's scramble time, because the time of those young contributors is either up or about to be up. The salaries of a lot of these guys that you couldn't win with them on the cheap is about to go through the roof.
Hey.
And you wasted the whole run.
You know, the coach is just along for the ride, and Jerry wanted to get his guy the Super Bowl that this team's inevitably going to win.
Oh.
Didn't want to let somebody else get that glory. Okay, Around the NFL is coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's time to go Around the NFL. It's brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. I got some good ones here. Playoff headlines you can use as we go around the NFL. Aaron Rodgers He made a bunch of headlines with a quote yesterday. I usually dreamed about playing for the 49ers as a kid. One of the reasons he was so mad they did not draft him.
Mm.
One of the all-time green room moments in the history of professional football is Rodgers sitting there at the table. Nobody take him. He was ticked off.
Mike McCarthy was a jerk.
Yeah.
Offensive coordinator for the 49ers. And he was like, nope, Alex Smith, that's our guy.
Likely set the foundation for the relationship to turn sour years later.
Yep.
So another reason for me to believe the Packers are going to go in there and win. I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't matter that much if you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, if the other team has an all-pro defensive line, which the 49ers do. Eric Armstead's really taken this game to another level. The Packers can rush the passer. The Packers are a good team. This is a 7.5-point line now, and you have a motivated Aaron Rodgers going in. San Francisco did blow him out, and they sacked him 5 times. The rematch never goes the same way. I don't think you can take that as any sign. You can say it's a sign the Niners are better if you want to, but I'm feeling Green Bay in this one. Yeah, that line is 7.5 points. Home field advantage, though, has dwindled so much. To me, that's a lock. Green Bay plus 7.5. You kidding me? I can't wait for tomorrow at 2:40 to get here. Vegas making what I think is the mistake of their lives. This is at best an arrow.
Mistake of their lives. Yeah.
Yes. What is home field worth today? 2 points, maybe?
29 the last time they played, sir.
So you're telling me the 49ers are 5.5 points better than the Packers. What? Because they just blew out the Vikings?
Because they beat the Packers by 29.
They've had some good games where, you know, they've really gotten on top of their opponent. Nobody in an NFC championship game with two teams that have won double-digit games is better by 7.5 points.
Sounds like
gambling's going to happen.
Tomorrow, Gavin Dawson is going to ride the pack.
It's going down for
what
real.
What do I owe you, Mike? 150? Can I get it all back in one game? Because that's the game right there.
I honestly think we'll talk about it tomorrow. I think it might be 150 after the national championship.
Yep.
Mm. And just because I'm a maybe nice guy, I'll let you try to gamble it all because I don't.
Thank you. Thank you, Vegas.
You have a great feel on this. I have no feel on it. So I'm like, just like the national championship game, I'm like, I don't know. Whoever you guys pick, I'll just take the other team.
Yeah, you know my feels all year have spelled nothing but pure profits for you. So I think you're making a wise decision there.
Oh, man.
Jimmy Garoppolo admits, by the way, he's happy the 49ers went 4-12 last year. I always told myself it was a blessing in disguise, the ACL and everything. And, yeah, we got Bosa out of it. I'm telling you, man, if you want to win big, you got to either be willing to pay Belichick whatever it takes to come coach your team, or you got to be willing to ride the roller coaster just a little bit. And for whatever reason, the Cowboys haven't rode it, unfortunately. And when they did ride it, they didn't take a player with more value, like a corner or a defensive end.
How many quarterbacks in the league do you think are willing, if you went to them before the year and said, here's the thing, we think we're a 7-19. You're under contract. You're going to get $20-something million. I want you to fake an ACL tear, because we're trying to get a great pick, and the next year we're going to be really good. How many quarterbacks would be like, sure, I'll just sit out?
You know, I think some of the players, if you're injury prone, Sam Bradford about 2 years ago, that would have sounded genius too.
Yeah, you just tell
Teddy
me, hey,
Bridgewater,
fake one.
Yes.
Just fake one.
Alex Smith, well, yeah, you know, there's absolutely. If you're smart, we're going to go get an amazing player who can change what this defense is. By the way, Demi Lovato is going to do the national anthem, maybe most popular for Sorry, Not Sorry. Demi Lovato announced.
You know that song, don't you?
I don't think so.
She's more popular for her Instagram, fellas, if you want to take a look.
Just what's that?
Her Instagram's on fire.
Is it?
Yeah, shout out to Demi, man.
Check out Demi Lovato's Instagram and maybe familiarize yourself with her music if you'd like. She's going to be doing the anthem.
I was going to sing that song for you, but I didn't want Lucius to mock my singing voice.
Oh, she's got a nice yoga pant look going on right here in this picture. Yeah, she's more of like a real woman.
Yeah. Built for some good weather.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, she's not like a model, you know, like all nasty and thin.
She's she's cornbread fed, Blair.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Demi. Yeah. Get a little.
Earned a lot to like there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
How about it?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's okay. She looks okay.
Oh, yeah. My bad. You're right.
Around the NFL is brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. And here is Jeff with second down.
I would like to revoke my take from yesterday. Oh, that's a nice picture. Good flexibility. I would like to revoke my take from yesterday that I would trade Amari Cooper for Odell Beckham, especially now that Odell Beckham is going to do 6 months in prison.
He's not going to prison.
He might.
That's just jail.
Yeah. He might. It says 6 months.
Or a fine or something,
it
right?
It says imprisonment.
Community service or whatever they're going to give him.
There's a warrant out for Odell Beckham's arrest because he spanked a cop, slapped him on the butt. Well, technically it wasn't a cop. It was a it was a security guard who had the really unfortunate task, and I don't know if he was happy to be doing this or miserable.
Stop smoking, boys.
Yes, he had to go into the LSU locker room and say, guys, unfortunately, you can't smoke inside. Chill out. And as he was trying to get a player to stop that, and he's like, all right, let me see over here. What's over here? I think Odell Beckham was either drunkenly or under the influence of something else.
That easy.
He was
That's
like, you know what?
Lawsuits.
Hey, I'm trying to help Odell here.
Slander.
I think what happened is he's not just a crazy person. He saw a fine young LSU man who was under fire, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to take this. I'm going to get the attention of the police officer or the security guard. He's going to leave these young kids alone. So he hit him with a bow.
Yeah.
And I can't.
A good game. That's a good game, you know?
Yeah. I was telling him, good game. And when the security guard turns around, Odell's looking at him like, what's up? Oh,
party time.
It was very, like, his
like
stance.
Like Super Troopers at the end when the cops started partying with him?
Yeah. I was thinking Gronk. Like, that's what Gronk would be doing. Like, yeah, that was fun, right? You like that?
Okay, okay.
And then the security guard decided, I'm not going to arrest you right now because there's too much going on, but I'm going to get you later. And so he called the New Orleans police and said, I would like to file charges against Odell Beckham for spanking me.
It's that security guard's fault. Pants shouldn't have been so tight, looking all sexy.
That's the worst thing since Deshaun Stevenson was arrested the day after winning the championship for the Mavs.
Okay, I disagree, because have you ever seen a security guard or cop and it ever crossed your mind, you know what I should do is make physical contact with that guy for fun? He'll love it.
That was a party.
It was a party.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll keep him, Mark Cooper.
What was going on with those police officers there? I seen they went to the LSU band and tried to calm them down when Odell went up to the band and started dancing.
I don't know.
This we can't do that.
Anti-Odell agenda, perhaps?
I guess, man. I don't know. Odell must have rubbed somebody the wrong way down there. I thought he would be home in Baton Rouge.
Eventually rubbed him the wrong way.
Might have been some Baylor security guards looking to squash out the dancing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a Pac-12 officiating crew. You might have had Big 12 security.
Okay. I might have reached a little bit there.
Yeah. Footloose joking wrong.
Yeah.
Maximum fine is what was that number? Is it $1,000? And could go to jail for 6 months. So look for Odell to be locked up.
He did. Well, it's
next kinda, 6 months.
It's a Me Too-ing. You know, I don't know when we're going to stop joking about women only being the only victims of Me Too.
Yeah, it's true.
I would have felt, I wouldn't have.
Stop sexually harassing that man, Odell. You know what? He probably thought it was a costume party. You know, he probably thought the dude was dressed up and trying to do a little hanky-panky. You know, Odell's like, yeah, mama.
He was about to rip off his shirt and do the thunder from down under bit.
Yeah, I want the audio of what Odell said. Like, did he spank him when he turned around? I was like, I see you, daddy.
Yeah.
Was he hitting on him? I don't know.
I think he was, man. I told you, the security guard's pants were tight. I think he jiggled a little bit when he hit it.
Yeah. He thought he was, what are those called? The dancers.
Tell me, brother. I'm waiting.
What are those dancers called?
The strippergrams? Strippergrams?
What are dancers called?
What do you say?
The male dancers. They're
called strippers.
Remember? Gigolos. Here's Mike with third down. Jeez.
Okay. Look it up, Gavin.
Look up what male dancers are called. I'm interested in that more than my down. Okay, Tyreek Hill. He says that.
Chippendales.
Yeah,
I thought it was a Chippendale bit. Yeah.
That they can't stop us because how great we are wide receiver wise. I'm just going to throw this out. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman. Is that the best group of pass catchers in the NFL?
I believe so. I mean, you're going to have to.
I know it comes to like chicken, egg, all that, you know, like Pat Mahomes, best quarterback in the NFL, and he also has the best wide receivers, or is Pat Mahomes making this the best wide receiver core, or like, do they really have the best quarterback and the best pass catchers in the NFL on the same team?
Did Tyreek Hill play his rookie year pre-Patty, or was it all Patty?
I believe he might have had 1 year. I'm going to look it up. I think he had 1 year without him.
Okay, yeah, it looks like it. It looks like 2016, I believe, would have been without Patty. And he didn't have the same impact that he did with him. Like, those two, it works together so well. Because you have maybe the fastest man in the league with a guy that buys time and can throw the ball anywhere he wants, whenever he wants. And it works out great, but I do think they're super talented. He's not making Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce was Travis Kelce before Mahomes.
Okay.
Not the same numbers. So he does. He elevates everybody for sure. But I think that's about as good as it gets, and that's with believing that Sammy Watkins is pretty average. But Tyreek Hill's really good. Travis Kelce's really good.
Can Tennessee cover these guys? I mean, they're saying, look, we're uncoverable. Is Tennessee's secondary good enough to?
No, they can't cover these guys. But can Kansas City stop Tennessee from going on 10-minute drives? I don't know. That's what worries me. And I don't need this. I need passing to prevail. Okay. It has to happen.
All right.
All right, there you have it. Around the NFL, brought to you by Winstar World Casino and Resort.
And Chippendales.
Yes, there is Cowboys breaking news.
What?
There is.
They were wearing buzzers?
Who is going to be the play caller? It appears we have an answer to that. A college football team inside these borders has a new football coach as well. So we'll talk about those stories and more when we get back right here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.